The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Wichita City Council has been very busy lately with multiple late night and record-setting long sessions. With us now to recap some of their most recent work is Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. Madam Mayor, thank you for joining us. Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
So let me start with what just the most recent, which is the I want to make sure I call it the illegal camping ordinance. I actually watched this. I was at my office and I put it on in the background. There were some interesting comments that came from the floor. And I was glad to see there were a few conservatives and business owners that came out to express the other side. But there were also some from the wailing and gnashing of teeth crowd. But really, this had to be done. But one of the things that I appreciated that you and Dalton and Becky Tuttle even pointed out was this isn't, you actually lowered the fines. You actually made this less harsh for the homeless while at the same time protecting businesses.
So a lot of folks didn't know this, but the illegal camping ordinance has been around since 2013.
Right. It's already on the books.
Yes. So this is really a revision to the 2013 ordinance. So the original ordinance, the one that's still in effect at this current moment, allows for someone to have a 72-hour notice before their items can be removed. Now, the new ordinance or the revised ordinance allows for 48-hour notice. So a reduction in the time, as well as the places that are of high public safety concern. That's in front of sidewalks, in front of doorways.
Overpasses, things like
underneath that. Underneath bridges. Exactly. Playgrounds, the new multi-agency center. Those will get immediate cleanup. But when we say immediate, it really means an officer will talk to this individual and say, hey, there is a shelter available. There are beds available. You need to go there versus camp out here in front of a sidewalk. So I think people didn't understand that part. The other part is about penalties. Now, the current ordinance allows for $500 fine. This new one or revised one lowers it to $200. In addition, you can use community service to pay off that fine. So it really allows for that individual to have accountability, but also allows the judge to have more freedom. An individual does not have to pay the $200 fine. It could be a $0 fine if the judge deems that
up to the discretion of the judge.
Correct.
And that's the way it should have been. And, you know, people, I watched a lot of the footage, and I think they were really just trying to, frankly, play to your heartstrings. And this is a tough decision. And I remember listening to Dalton talk about, and he's, I know Dalton very well, and I know he's a person of faith, as are you. And both of you talked about, you know, this is a tough decision. I know you and I talked about this. You prayed over this decision because it's not easy. Nobody wants to throw these people out or clean the streets.
And that's not the intention.
No.
The intention is not to do sweeps. This
right.
is not an intention get people really. What it is meant to do is to remind people that we have a new shelter
right.
that has 266 beds available. There are beds available in the community, and we're trying to connect those individuals to get indoors, because I don't believe it's compassionate to see individuals
to
in this cold weather just living outdoors like this when there are shelter beds available.
Yes.
And again, the city has spent a record number of dollars. Nearly $13 million has been invested into this facility that will allow for not just sheltering 24/7, but also connection to resources. So there are lots of nonprofits in this community that do great work. Union Rescue Mission is a great example. Union Rescue only focuses on men, but they allow for sheltering as well as transitional housing. So transitional housing allows for 3 months to 6 months of programming to really get that individual back connected to resources, training, and then have the opportunity to become an individual that can get a job in the community. And so we need sheltering, we need transitional housing, and then we need affordable housing. So we do need to encourage more housing in our community. That is what's lacking in the community. But this is just one step. So
right.
I think that this illegal camping ordinance was just one piece of that puzzle. We have heard it from community that homelessness is one of the priorities that they want us to help be a part of. And so we're trying to play our part in helping with having a compassionate sheltering piece, but also helping with the enforcement piece to really get those individuals to those shelters.
Well, you have to, and you have to also be mindful of the businesses and their rights to not have folks camped out in front of their businesses. But I also like what you were saying there about it's not just to help out, it's a help up, helping them to transition to permanent housing, to a job, to so that you're trying to do more than just move them along.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Trying to move
this
them
is
up.
A hand up.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
The multi-agency center, it's really a navigation piece, and that will be coming along. Right now, the shelter piece just opened up about 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And they're already wanting to work with partners. One of those partners is Project Hope. Project Hope helps connect people to resources, and they will have a presence inside that shelter. So the more organizations that come on board and get inside that building to connect with these individuals to help them, again, launch into what they need in their lives, whether it's, you know, if it's mental health needs, drug habilitation needs, there are going to be resources that are going to be inside that MAC.
I know, you know, we're talking about a lot of expense related. By the way, we're talking with Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. I know you in particular, and Dalton, to both of your credit, have been also very mindful of the budget. It's been another issue that has been on a lot of people have been talking about it, you know, particularly with things that come up like $1.2 million of art out at the new water treatment plant. I know Becky Tuttle and I went round and round about that the other day in a private conversation, not online. I won't have her come on the radio to talk about it, but we could debate that for hours. But this has to be very difficult for you, because I know at the one time you're trying to deliver core services, and at the other hand, you're dealing with a projected budget shortfall. Is this really what you signed up for? Is it what you were expecting?
No. So I knew about this budget deficit, and I've been trying to remind this community that we have priorities. They've asked me to promise that I will prioritize what the community really needs. They asked us about public safety. They want to know that there are officers when they call 911 that they will be available. So my focus has been on those core services: public safety, police, fire, public works. Now, when it comes to things like public bathrooms, like the $600,000 public bathrooms,
Portland potties,
the $1.2 million in public art for three pieces in front of the water treatment plant, I actually questioned all of those things.
I know you did.
Throughout this entire year, because I knew that we had a budget deficit that was right in the horizon. So therefore, that needed to be talked about. How can we reduce some of those things that are niceties while we need to focus on the needs? So again, it's needs versus wants. And I think that when we really ask the community, they want us to focus on the things that local government should be good at, which is providing that public safety, providing those safe streets so that you can get to work and to school.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the point that I tried to make with others of your colleagues, was the issues of need versus wants. It'd be different if you were sitting on a surplus. But when, you know, when it's just like the way it works with a family budget, when times are tight, maybe you cut the cable bill or you get rid of the premium channels or you cut back on, you know, you're buying skim milk instead of whatever. I mean, you know how it works. Honey, this week we can't do juice boxes. We're going to, it's just, that's the way it works. You get a 6-pack of eggs instead of a 14-pack. It's just, that's how it works.
And not only that, so we work not just on the yearly budget, so it has to be balanced in order for it to pass. And I will remind the community that they asked me not to raise taxes. So therefore,
or your own paycheck,
my vote,
by the way. Yeah.
And yes, I also voted, I wanted not to get that pay increase. So I voted in line with what I promised this community, and I'm trying to keep my promises. But we also have to be mindful that when we also talk about the budget, they also talk about the capital improvement project, which is 10 years worth of more capital intensive needs. In that conversation, we really need to focus more on maintaining what we have. And maintenance has not been the priority. Building new has been somewhat of the thing that other people have wanted. For me, it's about maintaining what we have. We have current assets. We have buildings that some are sitting empty. Let's take, for instance, the Central Library in downtown Wichita. So we need to be mindful that we need to take care of what we have first before we start building new. In addition, I think it's about collaboration moving forward. I really think that there are some opportunities between city and county, and we need to have better conversations between the two of us. And so I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to work with Chairman Beatty. And at that same time, it was Pro Tem Sarah Lopez and myself with Vice Mayor Ballard. The four of us have met on a monthly basis. And then moving forward next year, we'll meet with the new group. But I think it's those conversations to get us to more of the idea of sharing some services. MABCD is a great example. Construction details now come through both city and county in one building versus back in the day, you had to go to two different parts of government. So I think that we have to start thinking more about sharing services and being more efficient as a government. So I'm really excited about what could come.
I'm up on my quarter break. Do you mind sticking around? We'll talk about what you're looking forward to next year. Well, you're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We're talking with Mayor Lily Wu. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. With us still is Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. So we're talking about the first of the year. What are your plans? What's your looking ahead? Obviously, set aside, we got a budget to deal with, but I'm sure you've got some things that you guys are looking to tackle in the new year. Can you give us a teaser?
Sure. Well, I'm really proud of this last year working together with the council. I'm one vote out of seven, but I think we accomplished a few things when it comes to ensuring public safety. That was one of my number one campaign promises. I've worked really closely with the Wichita Police Department, specifically Chief Sullivan, who's doing such a great job in trying to recruit and retain officers. So in 2024, there were 46 new officers that joined the force with two graduations. So moving forward, we'll continue focusing on that, and I'll be very supportive of making sure that people understand what our officers' roles are and that we need to continue supporting them. When it comes to reduction in crime, been trying really hard with Councilmember Brandon Johnson and Councilmember Hoheisel with trying to figure out how to reduce crime in those areas. They have been there have been data that shows that a lot of crime has happened in those areas, and youth crime in particular was on the rise at the beginning of the year. So we started something called Unity in the Community events to try to bring community together. That government can't solve everything.
No,
it has to be neighborhoods.
Right.
It has to be family members and nonprofits coming together to help reduce crime. And so moving forward, I see that also on the horizon. Then I'll move on to strengthening our economy. That was another campaign promise that I had, was really making sure that Wichita continues being visible as the air capital of the world. And I'm grateful that Senator Moran has been such a great ambassador for our community, making sure that everyone else outside of Kansas knows that our manufacturing here is top notch. Our workforce is really focused and great. So I'll continue focusing on that, working with them. Then really it's about restoring trust in City Hall. You know, it's about increasing transparency.
If I can tell you one thing on that, I had just as an observation, as an outsider, I will tell you this council with you as the mayor, just the optics, the way you get, we haven't seen any paper being thrown over partitions, the jabs, the interaction, and you got, not to say that you have had an easy workload, because you've had record-setting meetings, you've gone, you've moved to the evenings, which was, by the way, another campaign promise, so you've worked longer hours, you've had busier days, and yet, despite the workload, it seems like you're getting along better, you're more, the whole council seems to be getting along better. The camaraderie is there, even though you disagree. I mean, there's clear differences. Trust me, anybody who watches can tell. But it's more amicable. There isn't the sniping. There isn't the petty malarkey that we saw. And I think that starts at the top. That starts with the mayor. So kudos to you for at least bringing a little bit of statesmanship to that. It was well-deserved. I made a comment in one of my carry-on commentaries last week. We significantly upgraded that office.
Well, thank you, John. November. I think that we have very spirited debates, and I think that that's where we need to get back to. In America, we can have disagreements on how we feel we need to be moving forward. But I think that when you see it from the bench, we have debate that is respectful at the end. We might not agree on everything, and that's okay. But we are very respectful of one another. And at the end, we take our vote and then we move on. And then we try to work together on the next thing. So I think that you're seeing that from our bench. And I hope that that translates to the rest of the community, that we are elected to ask questions of staff. We will be challenging, but really it's about questioning bureaucracy and holding them accountable. And as electeds, that's our job. And I think that when we know that that's our role moving forward, we'll continue asking questions, whether it's the parking agreements that have not been enforced since the 1990s to now. I will continue being community's voice, and I will continue listening to the people.
Well, and you know, other than the fire union, which, you know, by the way, that was a joke, and I'm glad that worked out the way it did. So I had never any doubt. Mayor Wu, thank you again for joining us. If folks want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Just contact me, lwu@wichita.gov.
Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you again. Stick around. We'll talk with former presidential legal advisor John Eastman. We'll be back right after this.